Welcome to The Laptop Lifestyle. I'm your host, Alexis Teichmiller, digital content creator for brands and companies and online entrepreneur. Whether you're running a business full-time, starting a side hustle, or just beginning to think about starting a business, you are in the right place. The Laptop Lifestyle is for you, the unconventional thinker, the person who isn't afraid to step outside of their comfort zone and pursue creativity over complacency. Each week, we will unlock how to build passionate online communities and thriving online businesses. All right, Laptop Lifestylers, let's jump in. Hello, hello, my Laptop Lifestyle community. It is your host, Alexis Teichmiller here. And today on the Laptop Lifestyle, I couldn't be more grateful to have on this guest. His name is Donovan Janus. And we dive into a really important topic. And it's all about how to say no in order to build the business that you really want. I am obsessed with this conversation. You guys are going to love it. But first, let me introduce Donovan to you guys. Donovan Janus is the founder and CEO of 17 Hats. 17 Hats is a technology company that provides an online suite of business tools to help small businesses organize, systemize, and grow. Donovan is also a lifelong entrepreneur with a passion for helping small business owners. We dig into some really interesting topics all about how comfortable are you saying no, and why it's important to narrow down your clients, pick who you want to work with, and why you should offer less products instead of trying to have something for everyone. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a multi-passionate person with a lot of different interests. And so saying no and narrowing down my focus is really difficult for me sometimes. So I'm really excited that Donovan is going to be diving into this topic and he has so much wisdom. This episode is just really inspiring and very artful the way that Donovan tells stories and really shares what he's learned as a serial entrepreneur over the last 20 years in the technology space. But before we jump in, can you guys do me a favor? Can you guys screenshot your podcast player and then go over to Instagram and tag me in your upload? Because I love seeing you guys listening to the show. I love connecting with you guys. The whole reason I create this podcast is so that I can connect with you guys and help you and start a conversation about what it is to live a laptop lifestyle. All right, guys. Let's jump in. Donovan is absolutely amazing, and I cannot wait to see what you guys have to say. What up, Laptop Lifestylers? It is your host, Alexis Teichmiller here, and today I have on a very special guest is my new friend. His name is Donovan Janus, and Donovan, I'm so excited to have you on the show.
I've been wanting to be on the show for a long time, so thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, I really appreciate that. And I'm a big fan of your company, 17 Hats. You know, your mission is to serve solopreneurs, micropreneurs, which is, you know, my audience, and this is going to be a really fun show. So I kind of just want to dive into, how did you even get started in the world of entrepreneurship?
Well, so I grew up in the Netherlands. And the Netherlands has a very big part of the economy is one-person businesses, you know, the sole proprietors. And by luck, my first job was for a magazine called The Business. And this magazine gave advice to one-person businesses on how to do their marketing, their accounting, really all the things that people don't really think about when they start a business. And it was at this job that I really caught the small business bug, and I've loved working with small businesses ever since. This was back in the Netherlands, mid-90s. I moved to the US early of 2000 and started another company that helped photographers sell things online. And my girlfriend at the time decided to become a full-time wedding photographer. And as she started her business, she became successful quite quickly with clients. And then she got to this point where she was entirely overwhelmed with the paperwork. The things that you just don't think about. And it got to the point where it's like, I'm going to give up because this is no fun. I'm spending all my time doing things I'm not good at, I don't want to be good at, and I just don't know how to do it. And it really became so overwhelming that, you know, I started looking to see what was out there. You know, as a software developer, you know, the answer to everything is the software tool, right? And to my surprise, there really wasn't anything that gave one-person businesses everything that they need. Like, yes, there's an app for everything. Thank you, Steve. But the problem, to a large extent, is that's actually the problem, right? There's too many different apps you have to learn. They don't really work well together. And really what you do is take that chaos of your desktop and put it in the cloud, which is even worse because then you don't see it all the time.
Right.
And so the idea was, why don't we build something that's kind of an end-to-end solution, focus on, you know, the micro entrepreneurs, the one-person businesses, or like we call them, businesses of one, and really give them a CRM, give them invoices, contracts, and then even add an automation layer on top of it. So, you know, you can have a virtual assistant that helps you while you're doing what you love to do. And so we had the idea in 2011. It took a few years to actually get off the ground, but then finally in October of 2014, we launched it, and it's been kind of insane ever since.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, that was just 3-4 years ago, mm-hmm. and you guys are doing very, very well now.
Yeah, yeah, it's, yeah, I mean, we are and we're not, right?
Right.
What I love about going on podcasts is kind of, you know, peel the curtain away and give an insight into the daily life of a startup, because it's very similar to any other type of business that's out there. To some extent, you know, we had that same problem that you know, my ex-girlfriend ran into, and that is, we got so many clients, we got kind of overwhelmed, right? And we had to grow, we grew much faster than we anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, last year was all about kind of going back to our foundation and figuring out really where we want to go to, figure out our vision, and fix the things that have kind of broken due to our, you know, fast growth. So,
right. I mean, fast growth does come with consequences too.
Yes.
I mean, your infrastructure, your efficiencies, your processes can all be broken based on just trying to grow as quickly as possible or maintain the demand. And I feel like 17 Hats, I mean, everything that you were saying, invoicing, helping people with templates, with emails, with bookkeeping, everything that 17 Hats does is geared for the person that wears 17 Hats. And so, of course, as online entrepreneurship picks up and people are really starting, you know, more online businesses as well as, you know, service-based businesses, they need tools. And so how do you overcome the overwhelm of demand all the time? You know, whenever someone starts a small business and all of a sudden, you know, it takes off, which is amazing, but they're not necessarily prepared for all the things that come along with it, that overwhelming feeling.
Yeah. And this is really the problem we hope to solve this year, because I don't think we've solved it quite yet. What we saw in the first couple of years is that our system works really well for the people that have been around for 2 or 3 years and kind of have figured out their daily routine and just need some help organizing that and putting that into a system. What our system doesn't quite do yet, and we're working hard on some things that I think will make a difference here, is helping people that get started. Right, because it's hard to sell something if you haven't experienced the pain yet.
Right.
And yeah, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the book The E-Myth from Michael Gerber.
Yes, I am.
And we started working with Michael about 2 months ago, and that's been a very exciting journey for me personally, because I read his book about 10 years ago, and the book actually inspired 17 Hats to a large extent, about helping small businesses really, you know, get organized, because that's the missing link, right? I mean, you can't grow without order, and you can't have order without organization, and mm-hmm. you really can't have organization without systems.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the issue is that systems and organizations are kind of boring things to talk about.
I know. I was just thinking to myself, systems aren't sexy,
no.
You know? And so when someone's starting a business, they're not like, you know what? I can't wait to create some systems. They're thinking about creation. They're thinking about their clients. They're thinking about maybe making money. They're not necessarily thinking about the organizational side of things.
Right. Yeah. And you know, as Michael always says, I mean, you know, that's the missing piece for most businesses. Yeah. You know, because if you don't have that systemization in place, what's going to happen is that you get started, you get those clients. It's all very exciting. And then all of a sudden, you know, you feel entirely overwhelmed because you have no systems in place and you're not able to actually serve the clients like you had intended. You have too many clients. You start dropping balls. And you know, most people start a business because they get away from their boss, right? They think, hey, my boss is kind of an idiot. You know, I can do this much better on my own. Mm-hmm. And then they find out 2 years later that now they have an even worse boss themselves. And, you know, and really all of that can be avoided by kind of if you organize yourself for success. And it is putting those systems in place and really figuring out how you're going to serve clients and stuff like that. You know, Michael always says the last thing you need is a client. And the reason for that is that once you have clients, you really start working in your business rather than on. Mm-hmm. And once you start in your business, it's really hard to take that step back and kind of start over. And as you said, systemization and organization is not very sexy. Mm-hmm. So what we've kind of discovered, we did this, what we call business makeover in November, where we actually flew in 10 of our users into Pasadena and spent 3 days with them really diving into the foundational stuff of running a business, you know, which partly is just the vision and mission, but also what are the services you offer? Can you simplify them? Where do you make your money? Where do you want to go? How do you explain your business? You know, what is your elevator pitch? Those type of things. Mm-hmm. Because what most, you know, especially creative people have a problem with is trying to sell, right? I mean, selling kind of feels dirty.
Right.
It adds a lot of stress. And the reality is selling, if you do it well, is very natural. Mm-hmm. And if you have a product that is good for your client, it's your responsibility to help the client, you know, buy you, right? Because if they don't buy you, you're deserving them.
Right.
And if you can describe your business well and explain why, you know, you're different than your competition, understand your secret sauce, so to speak, and have a consistent message throughout from your website to your emails, etc., and put that kind of a lead to client experience in place, and whether you automate that through 17 hats or even if you do it on paper or, you know, you're going to find that selling kind of becomes natural to you. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you're really ready for a system like 17 hats because now you have something that's repeatable, right? Mm-hmm. And when you have a repeatable system in place, you now have that control. Because what every entrepreneur can relate to is after a few years, the business kind of feels out of control. You don't necessarily know where your clients are coming from. So that's always the stress you have, right? Where's my mm-hmm. next client coming from? Mm-hmm. You have all these balls in the air, so you lay awake at night like, hey, did I do this? What do I have to do tomorrow? Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes if you're a freelancer, you're chasing your money down too.
Oh, yes. I always try to explain to people is that you know, your clients' lives don't revolve around you.
Right.
Right. And you know, we use freelancers all the time and you know, we try to get everything paid on time. But the reality is that sometimes things happen and it just falls through the cracks. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's very uncomfortable to call like, hey, you know, this invoice is overdue. Especially if you are dealing with other small companies or you know, kind of individuals. And especially for smaller companies, individuals, it's very likely that it fell through the cracks, right? And they appreciate the payment reminder. So when you use systems like 17 Hats, is that you can automate that and the system just does it for you. And your client will appreciate it because they don't want to be late, but mm-hmm. it just slipped through the cracks and you don't have to worry about it because the system takes care of it. And it also gives you insight into clients that unfortunately don't end up paying, right? But at least you can see who that is easily and, you know, follow up with them.
Yeah, and stop working with them too yes. if they just won't pay you.
Well, and that actually goes back to the foundation, right? And that I think people often skip is really narrowing down their clients. Mm-hmm. You know, you see it with, yeah, I mean, your podcast, right? You have really identified your niche, your ideal client, your ideal listener. Mm-hmm. And what most people kind of do wrong when they get started, like they're just looking for clients. You know, like I'm a graphic designer. It doesn't matter if I do your website or your collateral or whatever it is. Just let me design something. I need money, right? Mm-hmm. And you end up with all these different type of clients. And then it's very hard to have a repeatable process. So Identifying that ideal client, you know, takes a lot of courage, to be honest, because it also requires you to say no to the client that's not ideal, yes. right? And yeah, you know, we see it all the time in our company as well, where we get larger companies wanting to use us, and that can be just 5 people or 10 people. And initially, we said yes to them, right? Because like, hey, when you want to users, let add multi-user capabilities, stuff like that, it causes all these troubles for us because guess what? Our system is not optimized for those large companies. And by saying yes to them, we did them a disservice and ourselves, because now we try to offer them something that we were not optimized for. So it's better to just say no and say, hey, I have a friend that can do this, or simply say no.
That's actually something I want to talk about, because I feel like, well, one, when you're starting a business based out of passion and not necessarily necessity, because I think people start businesses for a lot of different reasons, emotionally, mentally. But let's say you're starting a business and you're just wanting clients, and you're wanting to do absolutely everything that you can to just get experience, to build a portfolio, to just get your name out there to begin with. There's this overwhelming pressure to say yes to everything. And even that's even in some people's marketing is like, hey, if you want to get your boots off the ground, you need to just say yes to absolutely everything. And I personally disagree with that, going along with what you said about finding your niche and really getting very targeted on who your audience and your community is. But can you kind of deep dive a little bit even more on the importance of saying no? And then how do you know when to say yes?
That's a great question. Yes. So in terms of, you know, saying no, I mean, this really goes back to the beginning, and this is why it's so important to really define that vision and mission right from the start. And the reality is to also realize that that vision and mission might change over time. And we just went through this whole process, right? Especially last year, where we went back to our foundation. And when we kind of lost our way, I started looking at all the documents we put together when we started of our mission and vision. And it's very simple to see, like, hey, we stopped caring about that business of one, and we started focusing on businesses of two and three and four because, you know, we saw demand there. The reason why I always tell people, you need to define and write down on paper, you know, your ideal client, and actually tell a little story about them if you can, because the reason for that is that it becomes really easy to say no. You get a client in, you see, do they match this ideal client, you know, close enough? You know, in reality, it's not going to be 100% match, right? But they have to match at least 90%. And if not, you know, you have something on paper that says, hey, it doesn't match, therefore I say no. And one of the books that has helped me a lot is a book called Influence from Robert Cialdini, I think it is. He wrote a follow-up book called Persuasion. He said, in order to help people make decisions, you have to kind of give them a script. If this happens, then do this. And I think all the mothers out there can probably say, yes, if they do that with their kids, it works really well. I started doing it with my four-year-old, and the results are phenomenal. But it also works really well for yourself, right? It's like, if I get this question or I get this client, this is what I'm going to do. And having thought that out beforehand really helps down that stress and worry about having to say no. You've already made that decision a long time ago. All you do is follow that script. Now, when you say yes, now the reality is you are in business to make money, right? And if you say no, 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 and you have no client to pay the bill, like, well, sometimes you have to kind of compromise on your ideals, right? I mean, especially when you get started. And I think when you get started, the way I look at it is like, people are paying you to learn, right? I mean, this is actually a great position to be in, because you're also kind of trying to discover what you really like doing, what you don't like doing. So I think in the beginning, you shouldn't say yes to everything. Absolutely not. You know, you should go back and define those ideal clients. But you can limit it. You can say, okay, if it's 80%, you know, I'm going to say yes initially if I need that initial work, right? But you just have to agree with yourself, like, hey, once I get to the certain level, I'm going to make it 90%. And then I'm going to make it 95%. And, you know, kind of step up that way. Yeah, because in reality, like, especially in the creative industry, when you get started, you don't have the experience necessarily to get that ideal client yet. But at the same time, if you know your ideal client is, say, this type of corporation, right, then there's absolutely no point in taking this, you know, baker down the street to design their website, because it's not even close, right?
Right.
But you can work with a corporation that is, you know, not that size if you like to work with, but at least on the same path or the same industry.
Yeah. And you mentioned the stress that you feel when you say yes, when you say no. And I want to talk about stress. Because I mean, you bootstrapped, and then didn't you end up getting VC backed for 17 Hats? Is that correct?
Yes, we did.
Okay. So the stress of, you know, getting venture capitalists involved, and know that you built another business before 17 Hats and sold that. Like, let's talk about the stress that comes along with being an entrepreneur, because I think sometimes we have this very glamorous and romantic idea of what owning a business is going to be. And, you know, 17 Hats is a tool that allows you to kind of manage all of that stress, but still emotionally and physically, being an entrepreneur and wearing a lot of hats, you have a lot of stress, you know, when to sell, when not to sell, when to expand, when to stay small. Like, how do you manage that?
Yeah. I mean, the way I manage it and the way I think, I mean, I don't think I manage it any better than any other entrepreneur, to be honest. And I also think, yeah, I was talking like last year with the founder of a billion-dollar company here in LA, and we were talking about the imposter syndrome. And he said, you know, he still has it, even though his bank account has significant amount of zeros in it, and it never goes away. And one of the things I love about the U.S. and why I moved here is the American mindset of go for it, right? In Europe, when you start a company, it's very much like, oh, you think you're better than us? Right. And if you succeed, you're like, huh, you're arrogant. Yeah, I don't want to talk to you. And if you fail, it's like, huh, see, I told you so. Whereas in the US, it's very much like, you know, fantastic, you start a business, good for you. But on the flip side of that is, because people are supportive and they ask, you know, how's your business going, it's hard to say that you're struggling, right? And yeah, I don't think there are many business owners that don't continually struggle. There's always something, you know, that is causing stress. And I think it's one of those things that as an industry, we need to do better at. We have a lot of, you know, female users. You know, 65% of our users are female. And I think they're actually better at it than men. I think men especially are like, everything is fine. But if you look at Silicon Valley, right, the suicide rate is actually pretty high among founders. It's because there's this constant roller coaster and raising money of emotions, right? And you're really at this emotional high one day, and then you hit rock bottom the next day, and it keeps going up and down. And it's really hard to explain unless you've been an entrepreneur. And as you said, when people start a business, it feels very glamorous, right? And it's partly because everybody always tell you like, oh, this is great. I love having my own job. Being my own boss and having my own hours. And I don't really tell you about the worry and anxiety that comes with it. So other people make that jump and then they're like, am I doing it wrong? Like, this is much harder than I thought it would be. Part of the reason of our reason of being with 17 Hats, right, is just take some of that away. Right after I had the idea for 17 Hats, there was this article in the New York Times called Maybe It's Time for Plan C. And you can Google it. It's a great article. And it really describes the journey of people starting their own business. And now all of a sudden they work 80 hours a week and 75% of it is in administration. And it tells a story about this baker that gets up every morning at like 3 a.m. and has to make all her goods, then get to the market. And then she's working until 11 to do her books. And it's this really kind of depressing, you know, lifestyle. And yeah, it's unnecessary, I think, if we can take a step back. And you know, this is why I'm such a big believer in Michael's book, The E-Myth, because yes, it's not sexy. But if you can take that step back and really just kind of organize your mind and systemize your business, you're going to remove so much of that stress and allow yourself to do what you're passionate about and grow either your business or yourself or spend time with family, because that's the sad thing, right? I mean, people start their business and all of a sudden their business owns them, and their family life, the work-life balance that they were desperately looking for when they started a business actually is all work and no life.
Right. And I was actually just had an interesting conversation with a friend that lives here in Nashville. She owns a really successful clothing boutique, and she was just saying, I'm okay with having one store. Mm-hmm. I want to love my store. I want to love my customers. I don't want to expand. I don't want to get a second location. I just want to make money with this store and keep it the size that it is and keep getting better and better and live a happy life. Mm-hmm. She goes, I feel this pressure all the time to grow, to expand, to make more money and have more, more, more. And I think like just kind of touching on what you're saying is there's this desire to have more and more and more mm-hmm. and to work more hours to make more money. And I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
One of the reasons why I like to keep something that's focused on 1 to 2 person businesses, right? Really one person, maybe with an assistant, is that it's my belief that most people don't actually want to grow. They say they may want to grow because that's what society tells them that they should be want to do, right? And to some extent, if you start a business, it's natural to some that you want to grow. But most people are seeking that happy life and seeking that through being able to set their own schedule and doing what they love and not worrying about having a boss or, you know, having to be there from 9 to 5. But they need the tools and the systems to do that. And I think that's totally acceptable. And I think we're doing people a disservice by saying, oh, you have to grow and you have to, you know, if you're a photographer, you have to get 15 different studios and people working for you. And,
right.
You know, and you see that often that people start hiring people because, you know, they're so busy. People tell them, oh, you need to hire somebody to help you. And they end up working more because they don't have the things in place yet. So now they are pretty chaotic, right? And when you're by yourself, you can kind of manage it. But when you add an employee and you have to give the person direction and you can't give yourself direction yet because you don't have a system in place, you just make things worse. Really, our mission is just to help people, you know, be profitable, be successful, but you know, staying small if that's what they want to be.
Right. I love that because I think there really is a societal push to always be growing. And it's honestly pretty exhausting. You know, I'm a side hustler. Mm-hmm. I am like every version of a side hustler. And a lot of people that listen to the Laptop Lifestyle are side hustlers too. And they might have a job that they love, a day job that they love, mm-hmm. similar to me. And I think there's this pressure too that you can't be an entrepreneur on the side and have a day job and still be happy, which I don't agree with that either. There's this push to everyone needs to quit their jobs and not have a side hustle. And I think you can very well do both.
I completely agree, right? And I think the lesson of this story is to not listen to society too much.
Right. Screw society.
Yes. Well, I mean, and that is a good thing, you know, about today is that, I mean, you can do a side hustle. Yeah, you can do it on site. You can eventually become the full time if you want, or not if you want. It's very dangerous, I think, to listen to people that have not been an entrepreneur because it is impossible to know what it's like unless you've done it. And I mean, I love it, right? I've been doing this for 20 years. I wouldn't want it any other way. But you also have to be realistic and realize it's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of stress. It's not for everybody. And you know, you can't explain it. And you know, this is hard, I think, for people that are in relationships where the spouse is not an entrepreneur. And you know, yeah, explain what you're going through. If you start listening to people that haven't done it, you're gonna make mistakes. And I've made those mistakes, right? I mean, you mentioned that we got venture capital, and most of our mistakes happened after we raised a Series A, because we got this really big push of grow, right? Well, in order to grow, we had to hire more people. I wasn't necessarily had all the experience to manage those people as well as I could today. Mm-hmm. No, we didn't really know where we wanted to go either. It was like grow, right? And optimize your conversion rate, optimize this, optimize that, right? And we were chasing so many squirrels that again, we lost kind of sight of what we knew in our gut we should be working on. But because we just focused too much on growth, like every conversation was like, how many new users? How much more revenue, right? And it's exhausting. It's stressful, and sometimes it's okay to, you know, take a breather and just, you know, build, you know, and build the put the right foundations in place in order to do what you need to do later on.
Mm-hmm. And focus on the customer while you're doing it too.
Yes.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. So prior to 17 Hats, I kind of want to jump into, like, you moved to the States in 2000, yeah. And then you started 17 Hats in 2011. Mm-hmm. So what happened in between those 11 years?
lots of fun things. So I moved to the US with my first company, which was a software company that helped people create websites and e-commerce stores and quizzes and statistics and all that kind of stuff. And Yeah, it was a great company. Unfortunately, it kind of became a casualty of the stock market collapse in 2000. Even though it was a software company, it was a Dutch company that I owned, which meant very little funding. I think we raised a total of less than $1 million. And because it was a software company, it meant the margins were very low, lots of upfront costs, because at this point we still created CDs and put them in a package and put them in a store. And we cut it into 9 different countries. And at one point, 4 distributors went out of business, basically within the same 3 months.
Wow.
And that meant the cash that we were expecting from them didn't materialize. And the old saying, like, you know, how did you go out of business? Very slowly, then suddenly. But it got me to the US, which was a benefit. I consulted for a while for different software companies, which was great. Since I still had the intellectual property of my other company, I saw a need to be able to sell that online very easily. And because the company that was out there at the time had kind of a monopoly, they were very expensive and didn't really serve the smaller software developers very well. And this was way before, you know, the App Store and things like that. So I decided to build a company for that. By the time that we were ready for launch, there were 25 competitors. And that market was kind of saturated. So we pivoted to an online gallery system for professional photographers. And it's one of those things, a friend of mine was a professional photographer. He said, what you have right now is great, but I have to create a product for every photo. Can't you change that? I said, sure, give me a weekend. Now that weekend basically became a whole company. And the company is still around. We're actually sunsetting it in a few months. It's been around for basically 14 years. And it was one of those things where it was just kind of a stroke of luck. Now, my friend was an art photographer, and we put some features in there that helped people upload different sizes of photos. So if you have like a big print versus a smaller print, the aspect ratio might be different.
Right.
And that feature happened to be the one feature sports photographers were looking for. So people that shoot little league photos, high school football, that type of thing. There wasn't a company in the market that offered it at the time. And I didn't grow up here, so I had no idea how crazy Americans are about sports, especially youth sports.
Right.
So the company kind of took off. And then we had clients like the Academy Awards. We had the Miss Universe organization, the Miss USA, and then lots and lots of sports photographers. And this company was entirely bootstrapped.
And that was called that company was called Exposure Manager.
Yes, correct. Okay. So it was entirely bootstrapped. And yeah, we made some of the same mistakes with that in terms of, as we got successful, we started to expand our product lines, right? And going back to saying no, as you grow, you get more clients, and more clients will start demanding different things. Like, wouldn't it be great if? And you think about it and you're like, yeah, it would be great if, and you get excited about it and you say yes. And in this case, we were growing so quickly that none of the photo labs at the time could keep up with our demand. So like, wouldn't it be great if we had our own photo lab? And 8 weeks later, we had our first orders roll off, you know, the printer, and they were shipping, you know, hundreds of orders a day. The problem with that was is that now it really split our attention and it costs a lot of money, especially since that market is very seasonal. So I've made a lot of money in the fourth quarter and basically no money in the first quarter. So it was always feast or famine. But it was a great company in terms of learning the needs of one-person businesses, right? And most of these were side hustlers, people that shot different events on the weekends and then had full-time jobs during the week. And it really allowed, you know, I've been seeing their needs allow Exposure Manager to be a stepping stone for 17hats. Like, okay, what else can we build for this market? And initially, it was photographers. But already, very early on, we realized after reading that New York Times article, this is a universal problem. Every one-person business has these same problems that they run into. So we designed 17hats to be kind of industry agnostic. And we learned a lot, you know, from Exposure Manager, especially how to, you know, kind of manage money. But the lesson that we did not learn, right, was the product line expansion in terms of doing too much. So with 17hats, the big mistake that we made, or I wouldn't want to call it a mistake because we learned a lot from it, but at the same time, it was somewhat of a distraction, is that, you know, we launched 17hats and we kept hearing, this is fantastic. I wish I had somebody that could manage 17hats for me. Like, oh, that sounds good. And, you know, we want people to focus on what they love to do best. Why don't we create this virtual business management team of somebody that can pick up the phone, get back to leads? Because if everything is written down in 17hats, it's relatively easy to train somebody on your business. So we launched Ally, and it was a three-person business, a client assistant who would answer the phone, an account manager who would optimize your account, and then a bookkeeper who would do your books, all for $800 a month. We've proven out that we could make it work. We ended up shutting it down because it was really hard to hire quality people and train them. And it was also hard to convince clients that they had to do it our way, not their way. Like, if you hire us because you're overwhelmed, you should allow us to reorganize your business. But it was funny. So a year and a half ago, I went to a coaching session in Iceland. And the coach that we had is the first coach I had 20 years ago. So he walked me through all the businesses that I had. And he says, okay, your first business, you had this website editor, which was hugely successful. And then you added four more products, right? Then you did Exposure Manager, which was hugely successful. And then you added a photo lab, which took up all your time. You have 17 hats, and again, you have 10,000 users in the first year, and what do? You add another service that is very complex and takes up all your time. Mm. I'm like, gee, John. and he said it in the first, 5 minutes of the session, right? And I hadn't seen him in, 5 years at that point. And it was very apparent, we have to shut Ally down. It took about 5 months to make that happen because we had 50 employees in the department. But the lesson really was, and I think entrepreneurs, we fall in this trap all the time because we do get excited, right? And we get distracted by the shiny object, and we love to create. I mean, the essence of being entrepreneur is to create new things. So when clients come up with new demands, it's like, yes, I can do that. Of course I can. Why can't I? And it's very easy to keep adding services. What you do is you actually overwhelm the new clients, right? And
too many options.
Too many options, right? And we saw this actually with Exposure Manager, where people could offer different products for their photos. And the people that were very successful only offered 10 products. Mm-hmm. The people that were not as successful would offer, the 100 plus products that they could offer. And we always recommend that offer less than 10 makes a big difference. And it was really the secret sauce of if the people listened to us, why they were more successful on our platform than on other platforms, because other platforms would show every product regardless. The mistake that we made is that we didn't force people to only pick 10 products. That would have been the smart thing to do. And that would have been far more courageous and simply say, if you want to offer more than 10 products, you should not be using our product. Well, we didn't do that. But I do think the lesson there for every business owner is don't offer too much. Try to simplify. Even though it's tempting and it can be exciting, in the end, you end up paying a very high price for the complexity that you added, often for no reason, no good reason. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, that is so wise. I feel like for any entrepreneur listening, that is the whole basis of the show. I mean, that is incredible, Donovan, because I think that so many people walk into entrepreneurship and, they do this one thing that makes them successful, and they start listening to too many people, and they start trying to please too many of their customers by adding so much complexity, and then they want to quit. They're like, I've created a monster, you know? I'm drowning, I'm working 80 hours a week, and this life I thought I wanted to build for myself is actually not life-giving, it's life-draining.
Dream becomes a nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's something that you have to keep your hand on the pulse of why you're doing what you're doing. Like, why are you even creating a business to begin with, and making sure that you always are very aware of why you're making decisions and what your intentions are. Is it to please everyone else, or is it to actually serve your mission and your overarching vision? Man, I could talk to you forever, Donovan, but I feel like we could get into hours and hours of intellectual conversation about entrepreneurship, which I'm not opposed to, but that's gonna be a very long podcast. Yeah. But I want to give you an opportunity to kind of share where people can connect with you personally, and then also where can people learn a little bit more about 17 Hats.
Yes, so I need to actually get out on social media, which I haven't. So we're trying to launch kind of a better training for business owners later this year. But since I'm not on social media yet, if you want to connect to me, just email me Donovan@17hats.com. One of the things I always recommend with anything, if you're trying to get in touch with somebody, don't forget to follow up, because I might read your email, want to get back to you, and then life interrupts. So don't be afraid to be a squeaky wheel. If you want to learn more about 17 Hats, it's really very simple. 17hats.com, the number one, the number seven, HATS.com. I wanted a name that was very simple.
Love it.
And then, you know, we have a very active Facebook user group, you know, 17 Hats users on Facebook. And that's really the two best ways to find out more about 17 Hats. Yeah, feel free to reach out directly at Donovan@17hats.com with any questions about business you may have.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Donovan. Actually, I have one more question for you. I ask every single guest, and it is, what does the laptop lifestyle mean to you?
Oh, that's a great question. Having lived the laptop lifestyle for really until I launched 17 Hats, and then ironically, it became less possible. So to me, the lifestyle means being able to work anywhere I'd like, whether it's at home, at the Starbucks, being able to jump on a plane and be on the other side of the world. I mean, when I was living this, I lived in Australia for 6 months. I lived in Canada for a month. I lived in Norway for 3 months. It was very liberating. And you know, it really means you're in control of your schedule. Being able to take your laptop, if you live in LA, you know, drive to the beach. You know, and I used to jump on my motorcycle and go to Starbucks in Malibu and just work there for a few hours. I mean, oh, now I'm nostalgic for those days. yeah, because I mean, yeah, then you really, I mean, it's a great lifestyle. I mean, you're living the life at that point of being able to do what you want to do and interact with people in a whole different way. Being able to work wherever and actually doing it, right?
Right.
Would describe that lifestyle to me.